Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For all things we do rock you. Our precious Abba, we pray that you will refresh all Israel. The power of your Ruach, the mighty HaKadosh, fill the minds of Israel. Bless us all tonight with your power of understanding. We ask all things in Yahshua's mighty name, that you will strengthen us all. And keep all Israel is my prayer. Israel cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your name and say, my friend, may I break you with shalom. 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 You may be seated. For Yah is great and he is tough. He is worthy to be praised, esteemed. For the power of his truth is the liberation for Israel. We are in a time and an hour whereby Israel must be totally liberated. And that is free from the power of the world, from the control of the world, the will of the world, the desire of the world, that we may do all things to please the Abba. For in times, although that the enemy has blinded the minds of many, now we cannot see upon us as a people, and even as we live in a nation as such as we live in America. There's a nation that is controlled, run by the powers that be, powers of darkness, that control every aspect of the lives of the subjects. They command, they direct, they form your mind, they form your thinking. Everything about us is formed by the powers of the world. That's why Yah commands Israel to come out of her, to be separate. Touch not the unclean things of the world. Do not be inspired by the things of the world. Do not allow your mind to be given over unto the things of the world that inspires us and cause us to rejoice in things that are sensual, devilish, that are temporal, and they have no sustaining power at all. So he commanded Israel to come out. Come out. He said unto them, he said, I have given a covenant unto thy weeds, my servant. He said, because of him, there is a covenant blessing with you to the seed of Abraham. I have blessed Israel. And I have made him to be a leader and a commander of my people, that they may understand the purpose and the will of Yah. In this hour, there we don't have those that have the power to command and to lead the house of Israel, because we cannot see beyond the peripheral. Our vision is just what's in our own life concerning me. And that is not the will of Yah. David had a vision of the kingdom. And that is what Israel was to be like. It was to be an example of the kingdom of Yah. But there were things that impede them, their sin, their rebelliousness, and their wickedness against Almighty Yahweh. We must be in a hurry in this hour. We must be diligent about the Abba's business. We're diligent about our own business and our own affairs that produce nothing. We must be diligent about the Abba's business. We must do all things to please him. In an hour whereby the mind of this generation is so twisted and demented, there's a mind that is so warped, unless we have the mind, and truly the mind of Yahshua, you're not going to even make it in this hour. You cannot withstand the powers that be, so we must have the mind of Yahshua. And there was a mind of Torah delight, that delighted in the Torah, the will of Yah, the purpose of Yah, and what he had commanded him to do. This is a generation of self-pleasing. And we please only one thing, and that is our flesh. And there is a great trouble that is already in the midst of this nation. There is a spiritual trouble, that we are embarked upon, and we sense that even in our natural minds and our spiritual mind. And the reason why, because we have truly sinned against Almighty Yahweh. We have literally sinned against Yahweh. Yahweh said that Israel, they have sinned against me. They had sinned against Yah. Because they have rejected me, and they have rejected my servant Moshe to direct them in the derek, or the way that leads on to my bosom. We are a people, Israel, that we reject the instructions of Yah. And when we do that, then we sin against Him. We find ourselves encased with a troubled mind, troubled spirit. Our thoughts are troubling. Everything around us trouble us. Everything about others trouble us. And that is not the purpose of Almighty Yahweh. I want to deal with a little bit of that tonight. Hallelujah. Concerning the time, the day of Yah, and the trouble that we sense, and the trouble that cause our minds to be depressed and oppressed. There's something deeper than the thing that you visualize. There's something deep within us that causes us to respond that way. There's something drastically wrong in the mind of Israel. There are things that are missing in the Ruach, the spiritual man of Israel. We don't have all the components. It's not that they are not relative available. It is just that we don't value the importance of the components of Yahweh that cause us to be strong, cause us to live victorious in the power of Yahshua. We just don't see it that way. Because we're people given under the fleshly cares and the concerns of this life. And we're so deceived by what things we see that the power of the Word of Yah has no delight in us. We don't delight in the Word of Yah. We take no great pleasure in the Word of Almighty Yahweh. We don't delight in it. It doesn't cause the love to rejoice. And that is what the Word of Yah should do. Cause the love to rejoice. But there's correction, admonishment, exaltation. It should cause the love of Israel to rejoice. Yahshua is the example, is he not? Then we must consider him. And he endured. If he is our example, then do we do judge our lives according to the example, the pattern that's set before us? We don't do that though, do we? No, we don't do that. You don't judge your lives. You don't judge the pattern of your life. You don't judge your actions and your deeds by what Yahshua did. You don't do that. Because if we did that, then our lives would be more circumspect. Our lives would be more complete. We will be more animated for Yah. We would have a desire that is more pleasing unto Him. We would take great pleasure in what He speaks unto us. And because we never consider Him, our thoughts are never given unto Yahshua, then our minds are full of trouble and distress and perplex. It has not come from the external things. It has come from the things that are deeply rooted within us. And the things that have poisoned our minds and polluted us. And they have come from the inward parts. They have not come from the external. They have not come from outside. They have come, they have generated on the inward parts. And because they have generated there, then we see the makeup, or we see this mindset represented and demonstrated in our actions, our deeds, our disposition, the way we carry ourselves. And that's what we see. So we don't find this euphoric or this great desire for Yahweh, because He's not real unto Israel. If we be honest with ourselves, we would truly be honest with ourselves. How real is He to us? How real is He in your mind? How real is He in your conscience? You see, you're answering me without answering me. How real is He in your conscience? How real is it? Can I show an example? There are tens of thousands of people in America that are losing their homes today. They're losing their homes. And they're so cognizant of that time is going to come, that the deputy sheriffs will come, padlock their house, where they cannot get in. And that is the thing that takes precedent in their minds. The thought is upon that. The man is given over unto that. How do I cause this thing to be altered or change the process that is already implemented? I don't have the finance. I see no way that I can secure the kind of finance to keep them from repossessing my home. And so their thought, their every living thought is on that situation. They can't sleep at night. Well, when our thoughts are on Yahweh, we have a sweet sleep, a pleasurable, restful, beautiful sleep. When they're awakened in the morning, they can't eat because their mind is given over onto that situation. Their every awakened moment is upon that circumstance. They cannot function. They cannot operate. Now, if our minds were that way, then we can do all things, or all the things that Yah commanded us, in the Ruach of Yahshua HaMashiach. Because our minds give Yah very limited time, a very limited space, we can't do nothing at all. There's no delight in His truth. There's no pleasure that we take in the delight of the Torah from the inward parts. Because it has not become a reality unto Israel. To that one that knows that he or she will lose the house, it is a reality to them. And their thoughts are on that. Because it is not a reality, because Yah is not real unto Israel, then our minds never gravitate to Him. We never think about Him. Our minds are given over unto the things that we believe are those things that are realities unto us. And because Yahshua is not a reality, we don't think about Him. He's never in our thoughts. Because He is not alive, He doesn't play a vital role in our lives. He is not an intricate part of our walk. Because we have rejected Him from being that intricate one in our walk. So our minds are given over unto sensual things, elementary things, and things that will not bring about the growth and the strength of a mighty one of Yah. That represent the kingdom power of Yahweh, because there's the visibility of the staff of Yahshua in our lives. He's not there. It is sad. That's why there must be a great affliction for people. And He's going to weed out those that's for Him and those that are not for Him. We can talk an excellent game, but it means nothing. We can talk the talk, but there's a walk to the talk. You must talk it. You must walk it. You must live it. You must think it. You must act on it. You must react on it. Your whole life is consumed with that. I've said this to us often, and I'll never forget. I recall many years ago, this was probably in the 80s. There was a football player. He had come out of Clemson University. He was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. He played linebacker. I'll never forget. He was a linebacker. His name was Del Curry. Not the basketball player. He was a football player. His name was Del Curry. And I'll never forget, because he was a bona fide player. He was a player. And he could play. And I'll never forget listening to the man one day. And his words were this. And I've never forgotten that. And you heard me speak this. He said, in order for you to be on the game, and to stay on the game in the NFL, in order for you to be the best and to hang with the boys in the league, he say, you must sleep, you must eat, and you must think football 24/7. Because if you do not, you will never make it in this game. You must think football when you get up. You must think football all during the day. You must think football before you go to bed. Everything you do must be on the concepts. Listen, the concepts of football. And in order for you to walk and to abound in the kingdom power, you must think Yahshua. You must walk Yahshua 24/7. You must do that. You will never walk in the excellence of Yah if you don't think that way. You will never walk in the dynamics of His power unless that is the mind that we possess. If we do not have that mind, we will continue to be shallow. We'll continue to be tossed to and fro. We'll continue to be babes. Our strength will not measure up to our verbiage. We can talk an excellent game, But there is no power. There is no strength to what we say. It doesn't resonate anything at all. It doesn't produce anything at all. So we can talk to talk. We can talk all we want to. But we must walk it the way Yah commands us in the book. We must live it this way. We must do it Yahweh's way. So we must think Him in the morning. He must be real when we awaken. He must be real during the noonday of the heat. He must be real in our opposition. He has to be. So we must think Him 24/7. Or you will never mature and grow up to be a warrior for the kingdom of Almighty Yah. We will always be weak. We will always live subpar. We will never have the vision. We will never. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have vision or the vision from Yah, we will be a people that will perish. Without the vision of Yah, you will always perish. And the vision of Yah, certainly that the kingdom blessing, that is the ultimate of the vision of Yah. But within the constraints of the kingdom, there are things that we as the people of Yah must do as we prepare ourselves for the kingdom. If the kingdom is not real, then we do not prepare ourselves in the flow whereby Yah has placed us. And the reason we don't prepare ourselves because it is not a true thing, a reality to us. And we will falter. We will fail. We will never have strength. We will never mature. But we will always be a very weak people because it is a mindset that sins against Yah. And we cannot sin against Yah. And there are classical sins that we commit. We don't think that they're sins. Hallelujah. And that is why there is trouble among Israel. That is why your mind is troubled. Your thoughts are troubled. That's why your walk is troubled. Because you're not walking in the Ruach of Almighty Yah. You are sinning against Yahweh. And when you sin against Him, troubles are going to come. And that's why we are troubled about everyone. We're troubled about everything. We're troubled about everything we hear because it is something that is cataclysmic, wrong, or has altered your thinking. Because it is not the mind of Yahshua. The mind of Yahshua gives us the surety of Yah. It gives us stability. It gives us strength and an inward strength. It gives us the power to overcome and to do the will and the purpose of Yah. It gives us the power to have restraint, to have the tenacity to walk in the emunah, the faith of Yah. That's what we must have, that mind. And if we don't have that mind, we will never represent the kingdom. We will never do the things that represent the kingdom work because there is no kingdom power in us at all. So we must do that. It has to be done by Israel. And the reason it's not being done because we're sinning against Yah. I will read something. Hallelujah. I will read from Zephaniah. Zephaniah. It says, I want to begin. I want to read a verse here. Verse chapter 1. Zephaniah. Chapter 1, 17. Yahweh says here, He's talking about, and this Sarah of Yah, Sarah, it is an oppression of the mind whereby one cannot function by the authority of the mandate, the Torah, the commands of Yah. You cannot function that way. It is a mindset that is easily manipulated and carried away into disillusion. Because it is a mindset of illusion. It is a mind that is given over unto illusion. That is why our minds are filled with all kinds of imaginations. Our minds are filled with all kinds of imagination. There is a periphery of imagination and thoughts among Israel. And our thoughts must be pure. Our minds must be upon Yah. The purpose of Yahshua in our lives. And because of that, because our minds are not restrained by the construct of the ordinance of Yah, then there are all kinds of unclean spirits that interact with our minds, that interact with our purpose and our will, and our thoughts are so vile and so sadistic and so evil, in order for a people to walk circumspect or in the purpose of Yah, there must be a purging of a people. And we must be purged. That's why Yah said to Israel, I'll raise up one that I've covenanted myself with, David. And not only have I covenanted myself with him, I'll raise him up to be a leader. I have to be a commander of my people, to command them in the Torah, to command them in the will of Yah, to show them my purpose, that they understand that. It is one thing. And I played sports in school. The coach, he gives you a directive. And when you follow that out precisely, you get playing time. When you don't follow it out, you get no playing time. There may be players that are not capable of your physical skill, but they have the ability to hear and to do exactly what the coach says. Why? Because the coach knows by practice, by design, that that play, if you run it like that, every time it works. But every step in the play is precise. Everything must be done with precision. And so that's what Yah has done. He has given us a precise path. And when we obey every act and action in that path, it will produce the kind of mind and the people that will truly love him. That's what it will do. And any time you misstep, any time you don't follow through, the play is a bust. The coach says, I want you to take 6 steps to the left, turn right. I want you to set a pick. When you set the pick, you turn back left, the ball will be in your hand. And that's just the way it is. And when the ball is in your hand, he has set the pick, you're clear. Shoot, if you miss, that's all right. But the shot is open every time. So that's what Yah is trying to do with Israel. To show us the precise pattern, Yahshua, and everything that Yah commanded him to do, he did it with the pure purpose of love. He grew. He became stronger for the time that was appointed unto him that he should die for the sins of Israel. Are we strong enough to die for him? Then impel the affections of our flesh and the ruach. And began to perfect the set apartness of Yah in his fear. That's what we began to do. Yah says here in Zephaniah, he says, because of the wickedness of men, verse 17, he says, I will bring upon them distress. I will bring sorrow. I will bring an oppression upon the people that is beyond descriptive superlatives. Their mind, their physical actions and their labor. It will not even constitute what their minds think. It is beyond the realm of clarity or explaining it. He said, I will send distress whereby people will not know what to do. We don't know what to pray. We don't know what to reframe. We don't know when to be quiet. He said, I will send distress. It will be a distress that will oppress the mind. It will bear down on the mind so that there will be no thought of Yah. When we are in a position like that, we know that we are distressed and oppressed. When our minds cannot think on Yah, there is an oppressive power there that has been unleashed by Almighty Yahweh. When our minds are not on Yah, when our thoughts are not on Him, when our minds are far removed from Him, when our thoughts are on things that are so sensual and so devilish, then Yah says, it is because of the sorrow that I have sent upon the earth. And that's the reason that He is sending that. I will send the distress. It is not the enemy. Yah is sending this. We sense that. We see that. We see that in our physical being. Our bodies just don't function the way they do. Why? Because we're in total opposition. We are against Yah. We are against Him. We oppose Him. And we oppose Him violently. When one is against one, it is a violent contempt against that one. Are you against the enemy? Are you against Shaitan? where there ought to be a violent opposition to him. He said, I will send distress. I will bring it upon some man or men. So that means men, he's going to bring distress upon men. Yah says that. He said, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. So I can see why many blind men are leading the blind. Because of distress. Blind will lead the blind in this day that we're in. And they all fall into the ditch, under the grips of darkness. Because they're blind guides leading the blind. When one is under that power of distress, they cannot even see clearly. When one's mind is that distressed, you can't even comprehend clearly. Your thoughts are not cognates. They're not thoughts of reality. And that's the reason why, brothers and sisters, that's the reason why we sense this sorrow, this distress in this hour. Yah delivers his house out of all troubles. But there is a protocol to be delivered. There's a protocol. Hallelujah. There's a protocol. There's a way that you get deliverance. He said, I will descend distress upon the men. And they're going to walk as blind men without the Ruach of Yah. When a man has not the Ruach, he's a blind man. When a man's eye is not single, and that is the purpose and the will of Yahweh be done, he's a blind man. And the blind in this world today, the numbers are untold. They will walk as blind men. And the reason why? Because they have sinned against Yahweh. They've sinned against Yah. So when that spirit of distress comes, when it comes, you know that you have sinned against Yah. And what we think is sin, I will show us some of those classical sins that we sin against Yahweh. And we don't think it's a sin. It's a small thing. Like Achan. When Yah told him, you destroy. And he said, the people tried me. So I put a little under my bed to hold it back. He sinned against Yah. And we don't think that the small infractions of the things that we hold dear to our wicked hearts, that it is a sin against Yahweh. We don't believe that. Yisrael didn't think, because they charged against Moshe, it was a sin against Yahweh. So they sinned against Yahweh. And Yahweh said, because you have sinned, I shall send distress. Well, you shall walk as blind men. You will not know, nor can you discern the light. A blind man cannot discern the light. I don't care how bright it shines, he cannot discern it. Oh, you can close your eyes, and you can kind of sense its light. But a blind man's vision is not that way. When a man is spiritually blind, Yahshua is the light of the living power of Yah. He is the power of the Ruach of Yah. And that's what the Ruach is. It is the power of Yah. The power of His living word. So when a man has not the power of this living truth in him, he's a blind man. He's a man that is full of distress. When a daughter of Zion has not the living Ruach of Yah in her, the living word, she's a blind woman. And her ways are blind and she lead other blind ones. We never done that, have we? You want to convince someone your way and you know you're wrong. You want to show them to walk in your path is right and yet you're wrong. So it's blind men leading the blind because they have sinned against Yahweh. He said, and their blood shall be poured out as dust. And their flesh will be as dung. Their flesh will stink. They will have no soundness at all to them. He says, I'm going to pour out their blood. I'm going to cause their flesh to stink as dung. Now, I understand that this is the ramifications of the day of Yah. But we must understand that there's always been preludes. Just like before Yahshua came, there were many men that were of the Ruach, of the Yoshak, that they delivered Israel. Men like Yahushua, men like Moshe, men like Obadiah, men like Ezekiah, they were deliverers. And they were men of redemption for Israel. So were the Shoftim, the judges, they redeemed them. They were called Yoshak. And if you look at that in the scripture, they're given the same title as Yahshua. They were men of deliverance. They brought Yoshak. They brought Yahshua, or salvation, up to Israel. That's what they did. And they opened their eyes that they could see. And so everything has a prelude. And we see the prelude of the darkness and the distress and the trouble of this hour is because of the sin of the people of Yahweh against Him. So we sin. We think the small matters, they're immaterial. They have no, we ought not to repent. Do we really repent? Is there truly teshuvah among Israel? Is there true repentance? Or we express something verbally, but in our life is full of wickedness and corruption. Are we going into the kingdom? Is this thing serious to us? Or is it just some little formality or little game we're playing? You may play a game, but this is my life. We are not going to be rectified or correct before Yah unless we understand what He commands and expects of us. We've taken Him lightly. We've mocked Him. And so when He speaks to us, it doesn't resonate or become a part of us, then it becomes a reality. Can I show you something? You're going on this trip down here now. You count the days. Well, another day has passed. Won't be long. You see, that's the reality. You understand. You might as well come over and say something, because you consider like hypocrites all you want to. I'm going to make this thing real to you. And yet your thoughts are on that. What I'm going to do. What we're going to do. The fun and all of that. And yet the coming of Yahshua, that doesn't even penetrate our minds. The thought of the coming kingdom of God, that's not even a part of our thought process. When it comes to things that are sensual, our minds gravitate to that. Our minds long for those things. But when it comes to the spiritual refining, the correction of Yah, we don't think like that. And that's why we sin against Him. We don't get thought that what we're doing is sin, but it's sin. We wonder why our minds are troubled, our thoughts trouble us, or someone trouble us, or someone wicked trouble us. It's because we are sin against God. You search to helium. I tell you, just look up the word trouble in your concordance and see the troubles of the Sarah of David. It was because of his wickedness and his transgressions against Yah. And his enemies compassed about him. He was troubled. He was depressed. He was oppressed. He cannot function in the things of Yah. And when your mind is oppressed, when you're suppressed, you cannot function in the things of the Ruach. You cannot. You cannot manifest the spiritual fruits of Yah. You cannot manifest as a Hava. You can't manifest pure love. You can't manifest kindness. There's no power of meekness in you. You have no temperance at all. It is something inwardly that is sick among Israel. We see it in our actions, our deeds. We see it in the physical manifestation of our forms, our minds, our expressions on our face. You see it there. I do. It is a contorted, mutated mind that has been turned away from the Torah of Yah. It is a twisted mind. It is a twisted form of a physical being that has one appetite. The mind of Yahshua has one appetite. And that is to do all things to please the Abba. To please the Abba. To please the Abba. I want to tell us something. Yah, as He warned Israel, He will say, Moshe, stand back. I'm going to make myself known among this heathen people. And you understand in Zephaniah that he expressed this, that Yah, the only way he can make himself known to rebellious people that sin against him, there must be a day of Yah, that there shall be a tremendous retribution, whereby those that have the mind of Yahshua, they will stand even in the midst of perilous time and death. Yet, in the midst of the great trial that tried him before the stake, he had to have travailing prayer. He had to travail. And our mind should be a mind of prayerfulness. We don't pray, brothers and sisters. We are lethargic people. You can look at yourself, look at your attitude. It's not someone else's attitude. Look at your own, and you will find how lethargic you are. You will find your condition when you truly look in your inwardly. You will find the reason of your condition. Is that a word of willingness unto Yah? There's no serious motivation there. You must be serious. It is one thing in the natural realm. You will never get a promotion on a job unless you're the most diligent one. The one that is serious. You will never get a promotion. Because the world, they're wise in their own conceits. They're wiser than the children of Yah. They're wise to do evil. Believe me, they are. But there's one thing about a wicked man. He recognizes the one that he can trust with his wares too. He does. And that is the one that he will promote, one that has the vivaciousness, the attitude that he can sense. So if one looks at us, they cannot see the attitude of Yahshua HaMashiach, and they will know that there is no promotion among us. We must go down to the fuller's house. We must be washed. Our garments are spotted by the filthiness of our flesh. By the carnality of our mind. Our minds are so carnal that it hates the Torah. It hates the teachings, the instructions, the Mushah of Yah. We despise the instructions of Yah. We despise anything that expose our flesh and expose the purpose and the will of this corrupt mindset. We despise that. I want Yah to correct me. I want Him to judge me. We say that, brothers and sisters. You all better be careful how you respond. It's just best to be quick to hear. And don't respond so quickly. Hallelujah. The ruach of a hypocrite. Because what you do when you hear the word of Yah, Yah tells you what to do. It's not going to be some kind of magical form, brothers and sisters. When you hear the word of Yah, you don't harden your heart as they did in the day of provocation. We harden our own wicked, damnable hearts. I don't care what kind of instruction it is. We harden our hearts. You can see it in the expression of Israel. He's going to correct his house. And those that he will not correct, they're wicked. And they shall fall by the wayside. You understand? He said, you have sinned against Yah. You have sinned against Yahweh. Well, Pastor Roberts, we have not sin against Yah. I want to show you one of the sins. It's in Shoftim, Judges. Oh, there are many sins against Yah. But these are some of the most classical ones that we never give thought to it. Shoftim chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, and the children of Israel, you see, they said, they cried unto Almighty Yahweh. Do you understand? They cried unto Him. There was a vociferous cry unto Yah. The voices cried out with supplication. They cried out unto Yahweh, saying, we have sinned against you. Do we ever cry that out unto Yah? Do you ever tell Yah I've sinned against you? You retain your corrupt ways, your attitude. Do you actually say to the Abba, I have sinned. I have sinned against you, Yah. I have sinned. You're quiet. that lets me know you don't say that to him. I have sinned against you, Yahweh, both, because we have forsaken. Now, we don't forsake Yah. We don't renounce what he commands us. We don't distance ourselves from Yahweh's instructions. And we think that we've never forsaken him. We have forsaken Yahweh, our Abba, and we have served Baal. We have served the Lord's. Well, we think that because it is some Lord, or the Lord God has made it cry out. No, we serve the Lord of our will. We serve the Lord of our bellies. We serve the Lord of our corruption. We serve the Lord of our wickedness. We serve the Lord of our corruption. We serve the Lord of our rebelliousness. That's what we serve. We forsake Yah. Come on, Yisrael, you're quiet. You know what is strategic to do, and the Lord cries out, don't do it. The Lord of your belly cries out, no. The Lord of your wickedness cries out, no. You know it's right to do. He that knoweth what's right and doeth is not. It is a sin. So we forsake Yah. We forsake the commands, the instructions of Yah, his ordinance. We have forsaken him. We have denounced him. We have gone against him. We have turned against Yahweh. We have sinned against. Now that's it. He says we have sinned. We are in opposition. And when you are against one, it is a hostile thing. You do it without any thought of impunity. You do it without any thought of that there's a retribution to come. We have sinned against Yah. We are directly opposed to him. We have sinned against Yahweh. We have a bias of disapproval. We're biased toward him. We don't think in our own logic in our minds that that is a disapproval of Yah. We have a bias because we say, I don't believe that's right. That's not right. And that's why we're distressed. Our minds are blind. We cannot comprehend the light of Yahshua when he speaks to us. We cannot comprehend that it's Yah speaking to us. We cannot comprehend that it's Yahshua speaking to us. We cannot. We cannot at all, brothers and sisters. Because we have sinned against. We have done it violently. We have justified one of the most corrupt things of our anatomy, and that is the fleshly mind. We have sinned against Yah, and Yah says, because you sinned against me, I will send distress. I'm going to send darkness. Your mind will not even be able to think on the things of light. When our minds, during the course of a day, during the course of an hour, during the course of a minute, that Yah is not a part of our process of thinking something is wrong in you. When the jaw, the tefirath of Yah is not in your lap, I don't care what the circumstance is, that there is not any exaltation of Yahshua because you know that Yah has exonerated you from the powers that hold you on the subjection to their corrupt and violent authority. You know you're free in Yahshua. Something is drastically wrong in our life. Something is wrong with you. Something is drastically wrong. You're blind. You cannot see. You cannot comprehend. When the voice of Yahshua speaks to us, by the power of the living truth of Yah, it does not create the higher, the life of Yah in you. Something is wrong in you. Something is wrong in you. And you better go and do a research or an introspective research in the inward parts. And we sit before Yah as a dormant people because we don't believe him. That's the truth. Bottom line, we don't believe him. We believe everything that the enemy says, but when it comes to Yah, we do not believe Yahweh because we take him as someone that is superficial and Yahshua's a counterfeit. The word of Yah has no value, no importance to us. Yisrael, I'm telling us, we must be warned. And this is the attitude Because there's one thing that when the light shines, it brings forth the excellent of the fruit of Yah. When the rain, when the waters, the living waters of Hashemayim flow, it brings forth living fruit. Look at the garden out there. We've gotten a little rain, and it certainly has been fertilized, and the weeds have been taken care of, and look at how everything blossomed with beauty. Look at the symmetric of it, the even flow. All the plants are basically the same size. Look at the uniformity. They all look alike. Well, that's how the people of Yah, everything in nature we see is a pattern of what we should be as the children of Israel. That's the way it should be. We should bear the fruit. I was speaking with Deacon Horn. We were looking, as I showed Sister Roberts one of the trees, somehow that there was a root of a peach tree and a plum tree there. So it's a tree growing out here. They got plums on one half and peaches on the other half. Do you understand that? The root has been grafted in. And when the root of Yahshua is grafted into our life, then there shall be the fruit of Yah that comes forth out of Israel. When it is not truly grafted in, then there's only one thing, and that is the vile stench of a dung flesh of corruption that comes forth out of us. We don't think, take what Yahweh says serious. It's not serious to us. When something is serious, you prepare. You already prepared for your little excursion. Already now. You're already prepared. What you go where? How you go do it? You've done that since day one. And yet when it comes to Yah, we don't prepare for His house. We don't prepare for His visitation. We don't prepare for Him at all. We're sick, wicked people. The reason why? Because we've sinned against Yah. We sin. We sin against Him. No, we sin against Him. We are violently against Him. We oppose Him. We oppose His instruction. Everything He speaks to us is an instruction. And every instruction disciplines you. I don't care the finest football player. I don't care if he's the star athlete, as they would say. It is one thing, I don't care how well he plays. The coach can always see the flaws. The coach can always say, look, come here for a minute, James. Come here. This is the, come here, Randy. Come here, Dave. Come here, Dale. You should have passed that ball up. I saw him. No. That coach is, the player is designed that way. It's designed that way. There's a coach in the NBA. He coached Atlanta, the Los Angeles Lakers. And he has an offense called the triangle. And it works. It is a proven thing. And it's based upon a few players. But it works. And they win. Because he is the winner. And when men do not follow that to the preciseness of it, the team always lose. And when they follow it, I don't care what player, they win. They always win. It's hard to defend, and it's a movement of the ball, and all the ball players, every ball player that plays for him, always become proficient passers. They can spot the open man. Now, if we are in the scheme of Yahweh's will, in His purpose, it is the word of Yah that shape us and mold us and keep us in the line or the path of Yah in Yahshua, then we should be doing the works of Yahshua HaMashiach. The reason we're not doing it is because our minds are not in love with Yah, and He must tell us this. I don't care how you say it. It is the power of the action that produced the fruit of Yah. And the fruit tree is not just one of Ahava. It's one of temperance. It's one of meekness. One of kindness. Come on, Israel. It's more than just one fruit. More than just one. Because we have sinned against Yah, we have no energy for Him. We got energy to sin, though. We got energy for the flesh, brothers and sisters. We got energy to obey the Baal, the Lord, of our bellies and our will. We got that, and that's a fact. Israel has sinned. Well, Pastor Roberts, I haven't sinned against Yah, and because I have not sinned, then I have no troubles. Well, let me read something for you. Let me read this. It says in Jeremiah, chapter 44, Jeremiah 44, verse 23. Yahweh says, because you have burned incense, because you have sinned against Yah, well, Yahweh, we have not sinned. You have not, Shemach, you have not guarded, you have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh. Neither have you walked in His Torah, nor in His stature, nor in His testimonies. Therefore, this evil is happening to you as it is this day. Now, we never consciously think when there are things that come our way is because of our own sins and our own corruption. We never think that. And Yah says, because you have not walked in the Torah, because you have disobeyed me. And the first thing our minds began to do, it began to look at someone else and see what happened to them. Well, what about them? I'm talking to you, wicked one. That's how we think. We think, well, what about her? Well, what this happened to her? Then she said, no, I'm talking to you. That's the corruption of the mindset of man. We can never see our sins. That's why we don't judge ourselves sadiqly. We don't judge ourselves with the sadiq ru'ah. We judge ourselves with the wickedness that is so vile. It is corrupt. We must be pure. You're not going into the kingdom. We must be set apart. We must be set apart. You cannot get into the kingdom. You're not going into the kingdom. You're not going in. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think someone has done. You're not. You're not going into Yah's kingdom. It's time out that we must be able to eat meats. Your desire to feed us with meat. You're going to have meat in these end times. For this road that we must tackle, you're going to have meat. The milk is just not going to do it. You're going to have meat to get up, to bear up for the battle. And we're not a battle prepared people. We're not ready for the battle. And that is the truth. So help me, Yah. Our sins are many because we have sinned against Yah. We hear the commands and the instructions of the Torah. And we have disdain for that. We don't want to hear that. We say that stuff for me is for Israel. It's not for the dog. But it's for Israel. We hear what the statute, what the commands of Yah teaches us. We hear the statute, what it teaches. We hear the commands, what it instructs us in. We cannot receive it because we are not willing to walk in the Torah. That is a sin against Yah. When you hear the truth, you obey it. You don't harden your heart. When you hear the life of Torah, you obey it. You don't allow your mind to reason with that. You obey it. When Yah commands us, it doesn't take a mindset that is that intellectual. Just take a simple mind. A mind that's willing. A love that is willing. We must have that willingness. If we're willing and if we're obedient unto Yah, we'll eat the tongue, we'll eat the plentifulness of the land. We'll eat the rich things of the land. We'll be rich. We'll be rich, brothers and sisters. We will not starve. We will have much. We'll have plenty. We have enough to take us through. But we must. If we don't, then we're going to be a people of Rasha. We're going to be a people of trouble. Our minds are going to be troubled, going to be distressed. Our minds are going to be blinded by what things are happening and what things are coming upon the earth. And these things are already blinding us. They're already. Price of the food is going up tremendously and exponentially. Why? Because you see a rising populace in China. There's a billion people there and they're buying beef like you. There's only so many cows you're going to have. You got a rising populace in India. And they want biscuits like you. They want rice like you. They can afford it.
And so the mindset of the wicked, they want the highest price. That's why it is. The price of gas going up because they got cars in India. They got millions of cars like they do here. They got millions in China. And they all want gas. They all want that. No, they don't want the chicken feet. They want the chicken. When a city like Detroit, Michigan, takes 1 million chickens a day, that's a lot of chickens. Do you understand that? That's a lot of chickens. So can you imagine what a borough of New York, can you imagine what Brooklyn or Bronx, New York would take a day? If there are 900,000 people in Detroit that takes 1 million chickens a day to feed that one city, 1 million? You got to keep somebody over busy, huh? You got to produce a lot of chickens to feed just one city. And can you imagine a city, Shanghai, in China, has about 25 million people? Well, how many chickens do you think they eat? How many do you think they eat? And so the mindset of the man that's making money, he'd rather sell the chicken there because he can get $5 instead of $2 here. We're going to see a famine in this wicked nation here. We're a nation of greed, brothers and sisters. That's why I tell us all, you all may get upset with me. I'm telling this to prepare our conscience. We need to prepare our minds. We need to control our being, our physical appetite, all of that. You say you take it lightly. We loathe the honeycomb. We loathe the blessings of Yah. We take it lightly. Well, I'm warning you. I was reading an article. India said, Mr. Bush, he said, well, the reason prices are going up because the folks in India are buying the food, the folks in China. He says that there were those in India, the dignitaries, parliament. They said, well, why don't you tell Americans to go on a diet? They're too big anyway. That they wouldn't eat so much to eat. That's what they said. And then they showed these pictures of men and women that were so grotesquely, it was just bizarre. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's why it's an inward thing. It is just not a physical thing. It is something you need to get right in the inside. That's the problem. And it manifests physically and outwardly. Oh, the famine is coming. Oh, it's going to be a famine, not just for bread, but it's going to be a famine of bread. It was a famine in Egypt for bread, in Mizraim for bread and food too. And that's why they had Yosef there to make sure that Yisrael, there wasn't that many that they were taken care of. Hallelujah. It's something inwardly. It's an inwardly thing that must be eradicated. And the only way it's going to be eradicated is by hearing of the word of Yah. The word of Yah, does it discipline us? Does it correct us? Does it correct some of the aspects of your life or all the aspects? All of them. That's what it does. Discipline your mind because it purges it from the filth and the pollution that we have allowed to just stay there. That's what it does. This nation is going to crumble. It's already crumbling. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. And Yah wants us to prepare our mind for the great thing that is going to befall this nation, brothers and sisters. To prepare our hearts. When you prepare that, my brothers and sisters, then you can do all things that Yah command us. That's why we're sinning against Yah. That's why we can't see. We can't see no farther than we're sitting here. We can't see tomorrow. We can't see down the road because we don't look to see down the road. We can't see that. Hallelujah. We can't. We need vision among us here. You brothers, you sisters, you need vision. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? I say this. I believe in order and everything. I believe in things being refined and clean. I believe in that. I believe in things being in its proper place. When I walk and I see things, that troubles me. Because I say, because if you see that and it's not in its proper place, if you don't take the initiative to put it in the proper place, then show me something. You know, your spirit is not right. Because your mind is not in the proper place. Everything. It's one thing that Evangelist Hartsfield told me. He said, son, I want to tell you something, Brother Roberts. Everything in this life has a purpose and it has a meaning. I don't care what it is, son. Everything. So you pay attention to everything. We don't pay attention to everything. We pay attention to everything about you. We don't pay attention to everything. That's the way we think.
It is the truth. Hallelujah. So we have sinned against Yah because we have done our own little thing. We have this trouble because we have sinned against Almighty Yah. Well, what things cause us to have this trouble or this sorrow? Look what David says, Solomon says in Mishlei. In Proverbs 21:23. He says here, whosoever keep his mouth and his tongue, keep his soul from trouble. Is that what the Torah does? Does it cause our tongue? It causes us to speak properly and in the right time? Is that not what the Torah teaches us? That's what it teaches us. Our trouble because we don't eat our tongue. It's an unruly evil, isn't it? Oh, it's someone else's tongue. No, it is your tongue, my friend. It is an unruly evil. It is an evil thing. So when a man will, whosoever keep his tongue, why? Because his mouth and his mind is steadfast on Almighty Yah. When a man's mind is steadfast on Yah, he keep his tongue. Why? Because the issue that flows from his lap, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? So if his mind is on Yah, then the issues that flow, they are the things of Almighty Yahweh. They are Torah delight. They are the testimony of Yah. They are the wisdom of Yah. So when you find one that knows how to keep his tongue, that one knows how to keep you out of trouble, that you will not sin, you will not be violently against Yahweh, you will not do things violently against Yahweh. So when a man keeps his mouth, when a daughter of Zion keeps her mouth, she keeps her nefesh, her soul, her being from sorrow, from trouble, from agony of depression, from this blindness, from affliction and anguish of mind. She keeps herself from tribulation and straits that she will find herself in. You see, that's what the assembly has done. We've allowed every kind of tongue to speak. We've allowed all kinds of opposing opinion. Shaul says a heretic, and one that want to fight against doctrine, a heretic out of the first and second admonition. You reject, you cast the fool out. We don't want to do that. No, he did not give the understanding of Torah to every man. Yeshua, the Ruah of Torah, will give us understanding of the Torah if we walk in the Ruach of Yah. And the Ruach of Yah will lead us into the Torah. And if it leads us into the Torah, we will say, how beautiful are the feet of them, or that one that bring tough tiding of the message of Yeshua HaMashiach. We will recognize the works of Yah. We will know that before Yahshua sinned, he descended and he gave gifts. Now that's a profound teaching. One day I'm going to teach on that, the gifts. Not the gifts, see. The gifts of Yah. It is an excellent teaching. Hallelujah. And so when a man keeps his tongue, you keep your tongue, you keep yourself from sorrow, you keep yourself from affliction. You keep yourself from anguish, from straits and pains, from blindness. Because we do not keep our tongue, then we are distressful. We're walking in distress. We're walking in blindness. You understand? That's what happens. We don't keep our homes whereby the folly, the frivolity, and the stupidity, this foolish childlike nature, is not of Yah. Well, do you ever laugh, Pastor Robert? Sure, I laugh. Sure, I laugh. Sure. Sure. This is a generation that is comical. It's given over unto that. And it ought not to be. It ought not to be. It should not be. We're in a serious time. That frivolity opens the door for every kind of foolish, deceptive spirit it is. You don't find yourself, daughters of Zion, with this crazy laughter. It's not of Yah. I'm telling you, you don't have to receive it. You don't find yourself, brothers, at this foolishness and gesturing and playing and mocking Yah. It's wickedness. You see, if I did that around here, then I would open the door to every kind of vile thing it is. I ain't going to do it. I said it like that. I ain't going to do it. So when you keep your tongue, you keep your mouth. When one doesn't keep their tongue, their mouths, they allow a certain thing to rise in them. There's something that rises. I want to show you. Turn to Hebrews. This is what arises in us. And that's why we are troubled. It says in Hebrews 12:14, Hebrews 12:14. It tells us to follow shalom with Israel. Hebrews 12:14. It said follow shalom with all men. It says that, doesn't it? It says all men. It did not just say Israelites. It said cool, all. Follow shalom with all men. You all saw the fellow that came here. Some of you all didn't see him, but at one time the man he said something to me that I said, look, old man, look. His son, his nephew said, well, don't talk to my uncle. I said, boy, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut it now. He's not going to say that because the man doesn't know me. But even though all that I've told you all, I saw him in the store, he didn't speak to me for a couple of years. Few years. And I was in the store down there at Parks one day. He's sitting there, he couldn't even look at me. He could not even look at me. But I'm not a cowardly man, you understand? I'm not a little weasel like that. And so I walk over to the man, I walk over to him, I turn and look him square in the eyes, I extend my hand, I grab his hand and say, how you doing? Oh, Tommy Jordan, the one that does the work for me? Oh, he has turned away from me, said, I don't want to hear you, I don't even want to talk to you. But I don't have no problem. I said, Tommy, I need some work done. All right, what are you, come on down here. Well, I'm saying that because the man, he called me, he said, you need some onions? I said, bring them on. How much? 50 cents a month. I said, all right. He's the man can farm. One of the first persons I met when we came here. I said, bring them on. I'll take them. Add some few fresh cabbages. They're grown in his garden. He's a farmer. The man can natural bone farm. That's all. He worked a job one day in his life for one day. Didn't even work a day. He said, I worked for 6 hours. Knew I couldn't work a job. Quit. And that's all he's ever done all his life. Farm, pit roller, and made his living that way. Never a 9-to-5. He has never worked that kind of work in all his life. I say that to show you this. The scripture says, follow shalom with all men. I don't care whether it's a Tommy Jordan. I don't care whether it was my other friend. It makes no difference at all. He said, follow shalom with all men, with all men. You follow shalom with all men and set apartness without which no man shall see Yahweh. Why? Because we're looking diligently. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the free unmerited hava and favor of Yah. Lest, now look, any root of bitterness spring up. See, that's what springs up in Israel. It is a root of bitterness that springs up. Any root of bitterness springs up in you, spring up, trouble you. That is what troubles you more than anything, your own bitterness, brothers and sisters. We're bitter against Yah. We're bitter against what we think He's done to us. We're bitter against what He's doing for us. He said, you allow the bitterness to spring up, and you become trouble. You become antsy. You become distressed, perplexed, oppressed. It springs up and thereby, how many? How many? Many be defiled. And that's what it does. That troubling spirit will defile and cause many to be troubled. It will. It will. It will cause you to be troubled against that one because of her. It will cause you to be troubled against her because of her. Cause you to be troubled against her and that one because of her. Because that bitterness, it brings about trouble. And because we're bitter against Yah, we don't believe we are, but we're bitter. We're bitter. That's why we're troubled. That's why we have anguish. That's why we murmur and complain. You are not going into the kingdom With that, my brothers and my sister, you're not going into the kingdom of Almighty Yah. You're not. You're not. You're not. In the midst of that, even when we sense this distress of this perplexity, David said, he said, we said, in my distress, in my rasha, I cried unto Yah, and he delivered me. He heard me. He heard me. In order for us to get the mind of HaMashiach, it must be a discipline of Torah understanding and revelation. We will never be disciplined in any aspect. And when we are undisciplined here, listen. When we are undisciplined in this aspect, we are undisciplined in all. When one is disciplined, then it is the character of a Ruach of Yah, because Yahshua was disciplined. Even when they spoke against him, he didn't open his mouth. Even when they charged him foolish, he did not just say anything. He did not say anything. And when one has that Ruach of discipline, it transcends and it translates into every aspect of one's life. If you're disciplined with your time with Yah, if you're disciplined with your Hava for Yah, you will see that in every aspect of your life. If you're not, you will see that as well. There must be a discipline. And that is what his instruction is. It is simply discipline. Period. The Torah is simply discipline. Nothing else but a discipline us to walk in this realm, in this life, under this pattern. That's what the Torah does. That we may walk in the plenty of Yah, we may walk in the higher, the abundance, with the fruitfulness of Almighty Yahweh. And that's why we don't hear. Because we sin against Yah. We sin against Yah because we don't obey him. We're not willing to obey the Torah. We're not willing to obey the instructions that he command us. And when we do that, it will produce an abundance of the blessings of Yah. But there is reprieval for Israel. Now, I want to read a few scriptures. It says in Tehillim, Psalms 138:7, there's strength for Israel. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, he says, you will revive. You will haya. You will make me lively. You will make life sustain me. You will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemy. Why? Your right hand, Yahshua, shall save me. Although Yisrael walk in the midst of trouble, Rasha of anguish, perplexity, he says that Yah will revive. He will give me Haya. Come on, if you're troubled, brothers and sisters, then Yah gives us Haya. He gives us revival. You see, that's what revival was under the old brush arbors. It was to give life. It was to give Haya. It was to reinvigorate the people. To press on for the time to come. And that's why even trouble in the midst, Yah will give us higher. He will revive us because it is his right hand, Yahshua, that saves us. It is his right hand. So he will give revival unto Israel. He will give us higher even in the midst of trouble. But you must cry out. When you don't cry out, then there is no revival that will come unto us. It must be a crying out unto to Almighty Yahweh. You must cry out. He says, and David says in Psalm 34:17, he says that the Sadiq cry, a sa'ak, cry. And that is simply a cry for help. When a righteous man knows he needs help, he cries. The Sadiq cry. And Yah hears and deliver them out of some of their trouble. All of their troubles. There is no crying today among Israel. There's no crying amongst this little group of us here. When the last time you even shed tears for Yah? No crying out against our sins against Yah. But the Sadiq man, the Sadiq one will cry out unto Yah. He cries out.
And if you look up there, it says, and the Sadiq Sa'aka. And that cry is one that there is a great cry for help. That is what Sa'aq is. It is the cry. It's not just a little trickling of tears out of your eyes. Although that accommodates the cried out. But when a Sadiq man cried, it is a Sa'aq. His tears of Torah unto Yah. His man understand the great purpose of the will of Yah. And he takes pleasure. And cried out unto Yah. So we don't take pleasure. We don't cry out. There's no sa'ak. No crying out. And it's saying, Yah, I need your help. Even when we were in quote Christianity, we would go to the meetings and we would get there and we would cry out. Cry out. This is a generation that knows not how to cry out. Because you just won't do what it says. It said the Sadiq. It says that, does it say that the righteous cry? Is there any formula but that? It just says the Sadiq cry, Sa'aq cry. He cry to Yah, and Yah hears, and Yah hears, and Yah hears, and Yah hears. Why? Because he's Sa'aq. He cry, I need your help, Yah. I cannot, I know it. I need to, when a man realizes he needs help, it is like those losing their homes. They go to people for help and they will break down. The women will break down. The man will cry. The wife will hold a little handkerchief as she's fiddling with it. But the tears flow. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to lose our home, our children. They have nowhere to stay. And even in the midst of that, that individual they're dealing with, somehow that they're moved and they try to find some way to remedy that for them. Is not Yah greater than man? That's why the enemy doesn't want you crying out. And it's the enemy, your flesh, the enemy, your carnal ways, the enemy of Yah. The Sadiq cry out and Yah hears. He hears the cry of the Sadiq. And he delivers. You see you're not delivered, or you have no Yahshak, you're not delivered, because you don't cry out. You know you're in a condition that has blinded your mind, has blinded your eyes. You're troubled about everything but you. You're troubled about this one and that one and those, but you're not troubled by you. And when a Sadiq man understands that the instructions of Yah brings about a cataclysmic change, he will begin to cry out. The Sadiq cry out, and Yah hears. When he's righteous, he will cry out. If you're not righteous, you will not cry out. But the righteous man cries out, and Yah hears, and he delivers. He brings Yahshak to that one. That's why we're not delivered, because we don't cry out. Hallelujah. We don't cry out. He delivers him out of all of his troubles. All of his trouble. All of his troubles. All of his trouble. Come on, you Sadiq ones, you begin to cry out. Whatever the trouble, he delivers you from all of your trouble. Because you don't cry out, you still have troubles. There are plenty of troubles in your lives. Because you don't cry out. This is the formula to be delivered from your troubles. I don't care what you say. You don't add nothing to that. It's as simple as that, isn't it? You see, if we could do something to add some dimension to that, we'll say, look what I've done. No, Yah said that, so he cries out. Just cry out. Just cry out, and he delivers that one from all, not some at all of their troubles. That's why we're not delivered, because we don't cry out. We're too political today. Well, I just never done that. But then do what the word says. That's what you do. Hallelujah. That's what you do. You do what the word says. The Sadiq cries out. And Yah hears them. He hears. And delivers them out of all of their troubles. That's what he does. He delivers you out of all of your trouble. The enemy has set a snare for us. He has set a snare. And that trouble, because that snare is this. I want to close with this. There's a snare that the enemy does. And he sets for Israel. It's in Mishlei 15:27. And he makes us this way. That's why Yah tells us to have food and raiment that will be content. Just be happy. You got clothes on your back. I look at those nearly 20,000 people in China. Many, many bound still under the rubble of that massive earthquake. Dead.
over 120,000 people there in the Myanmar dead. More than that. Many swept out to the sea. Said a 500,000. There's not much resource on the earth because of the wickedness of man. They're fishing out the oceans. Salmons, you can't even hardly find them. The Alaskan salmon, they did not even run it because they have fished them out. There's very little. We can continue on our continuous path of greed and destruction. But there is trouble at the end of the road. It says here in Mishlei 15:27, this is the snare for us. He that is greedy of gain trouble his own house. But you that hate gifts shall have haya. He that is greedy for gain. We're not satisfied with $1. We must have two. And when we expose ourselves to two, then two is not enough. The two, then we want three. Three is not enough. He that is greedy for gain. And we are people that's greedy. Our flesh is greedy. It cares about nothing but my flesh. It's greedy for its own consumption, its own purpose. He that is greedy for gain, he troubles. He troubles his own bayit, his own house. But you that will not receive the gifts, even the words of your own belly, then you shall have haya. You shall live. It is your own words. It's your own words. The words that flow out of your mouth that brings death and destruction. That's what caused your troubles. That is where your trouble emanate from. From the flow of your belly, from the issue, from your belly. And that's why we are oppressed. We're in anguish. We're blind. We can't see. We can't even see the truth if it's presented unto us. May Yah help Israel to deliver us. Unless we're delivered, when this day comes, the day of Yah, we're going to be in great trouble. We're going to be in great trouble. So he's given us a simple roadmap how to overcome. Just cry out. And some of you here, you've never cried out your whole life to Yah. Something is wrong. Something is drastically wrong. Hallelujah. I was talking with one today and called me, telling me about their circumstances. And when I finished counseling the person says to me, Pastor Roberts, I love you so much. And the way they said it was not just, I love you. And I don't say that much to brothers or hardly anyone. It's not that I don't love. I like what Evangelist Horn would always say. Love is more than just a verbal expression. It is an action of the love. And it manifests itself. Oh, I know he didn't say it like that, but that's what he said. Hallelujah. It's more than just an expression of verbiage. It's a deed and an act that one senses and sees and has a profound effect in one's life. And when he said to me, I love you so much, Pastor Roberts, because he says to me, I hear you, because the counsel was sound. He said, thank you so much. And you know what he said? He said, I will do what you said. I will do it, Pastor Roberts. I will do exactly what you said. You see, he will call me and tell me of the beautiful thing that was manifest because what I said to him. If he does what I said, then he will see that. May Yah strengthen us all. Bless you all that are listening. May Yah strengthen you. We hope that the words were great strength unto you. May they be a great blessing unto you. May He bless all Israel. May He cause our love to delight. In all things we do, barak you, Yah. Bless your people. Bless those throughout the nations of the world. We ask your blessing upon us all. Guide us tonight. Take us home safely in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.